Hi, John.
Shut up. I'm going to stop.
Okay. All right. Okay, I think I'll start the meeting tonight here. It's now, is it 7:01? 7:01. 7:01. The May 11th Boulder meeting, Planning Commission meeting, will come to order. Could I have the commissioner roll call, please?
John Brett here.
Nancy Tossler here, alternate.
Shelley Price Gibson here.
Colleen Thompson here.
And I don't see Elena.
Okay. All right. So until Elena's on, I guess Nancy will be able to. Okay. Thank you. All right. Want to approve the minutes. I think there's some discussion that needs to happen first. John, do you want to?
Okay, well,
approve the agenda first.
I need to approve the agenda.
Yeah, all right.
We will need to approve the agenda for this evening. Do I have any comments before we do that?
Yes, I was going to suggest with everyone's consent that we move the two subdivisions up ahead of the item three. Just for the convenience of the guests who are here, although they're welcome to stay. So I'll make a motion that we take the
number five and number six.
Number five and number six ahead of item three.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Can I have a vote, please?
John, aye.
Nancy, aye.
Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye. All right. We're at approving April 13th minutes. Are there any requests for corrections for the minutes? Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 13th?
John will move to approve the minutes, and thank you, Paige, for an excellent job.
Okay. I'll second it, and thank Craig also. And Shirley, thank you. All right, the motion has been moved and seconded. Can I have a commissioner vote? Vote for the commission.
John, aye.
Nancy, aye.
Shirley, aye.
Colleen, aye.
Tina, aye. All right, we're going to now move to, we're moving you up, Andy.
Thank you.
Okay, so April, you want to give your report on this?
Yeah, so this is a preliminary subdivision application. He has met all requirements. There's Lena. It's a one lot subdivision from a larger piece of property. They now have road access, the town road access, and it's pretty clear cut. I feel like.
Can you get to zoom in on that?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was taking notes here. So do you want to look at the site plat?
Yeah, do the site plat.
Is this the one on Burden?
Yeah.
This is what that was the first time we built it. Let's see. Oh, no, we did that.
Let me see if I can try to bring it up.
Okay. Yeah. I know, it's hard.
Did you have any comments, Andy, before we start?
No.
Okay. Andy, did you want to describe your...
Yeah, we're really just here to answer questions. We understand that because the public hearing notice didn't happen in time, we're not likely to receive a vote.
I can also do it
on this preliminary application, but we wanted to be here to just clear anything at all up and take any guidance from you guys as far as how we can make sure this is a smooth pass when the time comes next month.
Is that you, Shannon, or me?
Yeah.
Also, guys, this is Elena. I got in a little late, but just letting you know I'm here now.
Yeah. Thanks. We actually did. Thanks.
Okay.
That might be you.
It's up right now, so.
Can you bring it up a little bit?
Yeah, that's you.
Tell me what you want to look at, because I can't
see that. So their lot is, yeah, there we go. Go over. And down.
I think I need a
mouse. Okay, so that is their subdivision firm, and then you will see below is where the straight south is the road access, which is a town road going into their property. The majority of the building lot is going to be kind of on the south side. Can you scroll left? You will see there is 30% slope, but they're not anywhere near that. And scroll down.
How's the view?
Yeah, so it's you see the 30% slope. Everything south is kind of where the building envelope will be. Can you scroll up a little bit more? Or down, like. Yeah, so their building envelope kind of is in that southern section. So they met, they are drilling a well instead of connecting to town water. The sewer is feasible, and I think, and the fire authority has approved their driveway access.
It's 5 point something acres, right?
Correct. 5.92.
There it is, right there. Is there any questions from commission?
And could you indicate where the nearest hydrant is? I know we discussed
there, so. Absolutely. If we can zoom out just a little bit.
Would you rather me square? Stop sharing screen.
I can kind of exist in space too. That's fine. Yeah. There would be one here at Jesse Browning's house.
All right. I'm going to stop yours. All right. There we go.
This hydrant is squarely within the requirements. There is another hydrant out on Highway 12, which would be here on the east side of the highway, which does not fit the length requirement, but would be the most functional hydrant. In case of an emergency, that's the hydrant we would tap. We've been through it with Pete and also the guys on the fire department, who all agreed that that's a really practical hydrant for.
Okay, that's a good resolution. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Is there anything you guys are wanting to see? Any questions for when he does come back next month that he has time to fix anything?
The full complement of documents are uploaded on the website. With the exception still of there was a memo of road access, the Pete fire thing. I didn't upload that because it looked like it was just.
That was just kind of in there to show the.
Yeah. That he signed off on it.
This is Elena. I've got a couple of comments. There are a couple things in there that I think will be pretty easy to address, but on the wastewater thing, there is, and part of.
They're breaking up a lamp.
You're frozen.
No.
if you can type in the chat, that might be useful since you're frozen. We can table this for a second, and then we can move on to the concept one until Lena comes back. Or do you want to study on this?
I'm happy to do that.
So what gets in there in the chat is try turning off the video. So if that helps.
It's like she logged off.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
So I'm presuming that we would have a public, we'll have to schedule a public hearing. Andy gave me the addresses of the people I have to send notices out to. So I guess my question is, do you anticipate any response that we haven't heard tonight from any of those nearby neighbors?
I don't anticipate that being an issue at all. There's a wild card involved just with personality stuff that I can't say for sure. You know, different days in a town like this might have someone say something, but I don't see any reason why not. We've communicated with every neighbor personally about our plans for the project, and everyone has been explicitly supportive to date.
Right.
I can say that.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, people's opinions don't really count, but if they have some substantive thing about their property lines. Or
we have heard no resistance. We've only heard welcoming support from all of the neighbors when it comes to this. So we feel like it's a pretty sweet challenge.
Okay, maybe we'll just go ahead and
press pause on this discussion.
Pause on this discussion and come back, and we'll go ahead and let Mr. talk about the conditional use for
the conceptual plan
for the subdivision with, how do you pronounce the last name?
Noon?
Noon?
Is it Noon?
No.
Yes. It's Wynn.
Wynn.
Wynn. Okay.
Wynn. Oh, cool. Wow. Okay.
All right. It's in their name. Oh, I guess. Let me see if I can.
So, as a conceptual plan. Will
me to try to bring it up, or are you done?
You bring it up so I can chat with the lawyer.
So, okay, do you want to look at the map first?
Yeah, bring up the map.
When?
Okay, so. Oh, where are those?
Oh, she's back.
Okay, so map, map, map.
Okay, maybe we just go ahead and, Elena, can you try again?
I think I'm back for now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think Tessa asked for the number for me and she sent it to me. And just so you know, that number when I call it says it's unavailable. So I don't know if there's another number in case this goes out again. And if there is, if someone could send me that, that would be great.
I will.
Because it'd be good to have both on in case the internet goes out again. I apologize for that. But if you guys are ready, I have a couple things about the application that I think are not a huge deal, but just might need to be buttoned up a little bit. The Southwest Utah Public Health Department stuff, the septic stuff, at the bottom of that wastewater letter, I believe there should be a stamp from the that says plans approved, and it gets dated and signed by the Southwest Utah Public Health people. I know that in part because I just did it. So I think for that to be complete, it needs to be like Tony Jackson comes and checks it out, but then Southwest Utah Public Health needs to sign off on that. And I understand the guy over there just recently switched, so he might not have followed through on all of that, but that should be a pretty simple fix, I think, but due diligence on that should probably be done. And then the other thing is, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, cool. The other thing is, the water right number, you guys have that form, saying that you have the right to drill, and all of that, and that All Wells is prepared to come out for you. And there's also, a letter that you probably would have gotten with the other one from the Department of Natural Resources or Water Resources, that gives a water right number as well as, the appropriate number of acre feet you're allowed to drill. And, our ordinances specifically say you need 0.5 acre feet, I believe. And so that piece of paper, says how many acre feet you have the right to drill specifically. So personally, I think that would be good to see, so that we know it's the appropriate amount. And I have mine from when I just did it, and I'd be happy to send that to you if that's helpful, just so you know what you're looking for.
Okay, thanks.
So one comment just to respond, the water right number is clearly stamped on the water right document that we provided shared folder, which is just labeled number 5 water right. Andy Rice here. The document labeled number 5 water right in the shared folder does have the stamped water right on it. And I'm reading through it quickly. It's quite a ways in excess of the 0.5, and I can see where that is not here, so we can easily amend that. We do have that documented in a separate document. We'll just add to the application. And as far as I can tell, reading through the requirements, I think that the approval from Southwest on the septic is a complete approval. Maybe just ask for a second opinion on that, if you wouldn't mind. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Anything else?
All right, any more comments for Andy?
That's the smallest I can do.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. All right. So, Andy, I think we're done with this. So, thank you. All right. The Wynn conceptual plan for subdivision. This is the map. The road you see to the right is the lower. Are the back road into town?
Yeah, so yeah, you can see on lot 1 the existing house.
Mm-hmm.
Lower Boulder Road.
Yes, Lower Boulder and Spur Trail.
It's Spur Trail and the back road from that intersection towards town.
Yeah, and I have larger for people who aren't in here. Yeah, so lot 1 is the existing where the existing house is, and then the other lots, it's up to 4 lots that they're currently wanting.
You want to point that out?
Why don't you present what you can?
Okay.
And introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you.
And your relationship to this?
I just own the friends with mine.
The planner.
Yeah. So these are all the hydrants were easily covered. There's 3 hydrants around the state. And this is angled, even though I wouldn't like to do it, because I talked to both Farmstead Water and Power Company, and we have irrigation ditch coming right down here. And so we don't want to stay out of this low area that's really deep. It's like 15 feet in here, and there's a lot of water. So they want to bring the water in as close as they can and still stay off the 200 foot. It will be about 250 feet off the intersection to split that lot. And this will exist the way it is. And so the squares are just the house and septic locations. And this is the same thing, it's just the entrance and the power and the underground power and water, everything will come in on road sites. So it'll go right to the house and right on the roads. And so, where the spurs for the house and septic.
So where does the Mesa Road come into that?
Mesa Road's almost right across from here.
Oh, great. Okay, that would be my preference.
Yeah.
So that's great.
You can see this hydrant. It's just
yeah.
a little bit north of that.
Okay, great. So one road for two of the, yeah. two of the lots. Okay.
Yep. Can you scroll down? There's two houses.
That's a separate one house is a separate parcel.
That okay, and then the
and the other is not part of
not part of the property.
Yeah, that's correct.
That lower right.
Yeah, this is a private property. Another house. So
any comments?
So I do have one.
Mm-hmm.
This is not anything to do with necessarily, this is a definite, 5-acre lot setup. So this right. is definitely something that we would approve. I was just curious how, I would want to know how the fields are going to be handled.
Well, this is going in, the only reason they're splitting it is because they have to do something, and the other two houses are for the kids down the line.
Uh-huh.
So they're just going to keep the fields and the irrigation. And that's why we're bringing the roads in the straight. There's the irrigation ditch runs literally right down the middle of it. So they want to keep as much irrigated as possible.
Okay. I was just wondering if, so this is definitely, okay. That's.
So I wanted to make a comment about this too, as far as what we were talking about agriculture and farming, because I know that they're also going to bring in greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different type of agriculture than what we talk about in general, mm-hmm. but it is still farming,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's interesting too, as far as the difference between when we talk about agriculture, open spaces, and farming and greenhouses, and still trying to keep some open spaces and watering.
Great. Just yeah.
Using that kind of as an example.
Right. That's great. I'm just curious because of the options are large, yeah. As far as what people decide.
Because they got plenty of water.
Uh-huh.
So they want to keep it as much as they possibly can irrigated.
Great. So can I just ask what the hole is for that's being dug there? There's a big
lower that wet pond. It's just going to be a pond.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, just curious. But.
Yeah.
I think this clearly meets the curb ordinance, and is approvable as is. But I guess I'll kind of make the same speech that I made on Full Moon Farms, that we are looking, and hopefully we'll make some progress even tonight on it. On a new subdivision ordinance that would allow more flexibility, because you use the words that they have to split.
Right. Right.
And that we really sincerely want to come up with an ordinance that gives landowners the flexibility to do things good for the land, good for their pocketbook, and makes more sense than the way we're arbitrarily now forcing 5-acre lots. So the encouragement I would really have is, If they have a little patience and you're willing to participate in the process, you might make some progress in coming with something better.
Yeah, they don't have much patience.
Okay, well then they
want to move Boulder, so
they're right. Right to do it.
That's right. That's great.
So so the idea, I think, what you were both referring to is the idea of clustering, putting all the houses in one corner and leaving the rest.
Well,
of
or just having some agreement as far as how the irrigation is going to happen. you know, throughout the whole thing and some kind of agreement. I mean, obviously they're going to live there, and but in my
perspective, they're only going to build one house.
Right, right.
Really matter, I guess.
No, it doesn't. Is that when we subdivide, that it's more a permanent thing, and any kind of, I guess the planning commission is feeling strongly about the idea of having something that actually preserves the ability to, and if someone else bought the piece of property for some reason, and
right.
there wasn't any kind of agreement between property owners, then it would, you know. That's the only thing. So obviously this is definitely within your right and their right to do. And it's, you know, there's no question.
All the house locations do. They're right on the other side and they're high spots or the dry spots. Can't hear
right over there.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
When they're kind of in that locations.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So, but thanks, Tim. I just wanted to.
Hey, Tim, you talked about that. I have a question. The irrigation line that goes through the property, I know where it is. Are they using flood or what kind of
flood? That's flood irrigation.
Okay. Are they thinking about going to some other
no
plant or
no? They like to keep it in flood. They just want to. They're looking just for a full time employee so they can take care of it.
Right. And
that's why they're keeping this house so they can put somebody in to help with the land that lives here. So.
Great.
You might want to encourage them to look at other options too, because they're still under where they can get, you know, flooding just strips the soil.
Yeah.
So if they can get any kind of, you know, I've noticed they've used a lot of pods. They're finding out they're more efficient and
cost-effective. Well, the land hasn't really been taken care of. So it could really be flood irrigated, the old system way, because you can still see all the old system that was there.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been done. So if somebody was on top of it, it'd be, you could irrigate 3/4 more than what's going on right now.
Just let them know that it's an option for it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Tim. I think that's great.
Anything else?
No.
Just as a procedural thing, I think it's ironic that those drawings from Rod Torgerson started out as electronic files, as PDFs, and then got sent to us as a paper copy that had to be taken a picture of.
Them. Yeah.
So, again, we do need, this is more of a procedural thing, but yet documents, when they're already in electronic formats, they could be submitted more conveniently. Then I could have read the fine print.
Well, I'm kind of having them do as little as possible because they're pretty hard to deal with, especially Rod.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, that's we'll talk about that also too as procedures.
Yeah, but I just will share, y'all, that under the ordinance they could probably get a big field and more lots if they ever wanted to go that route, but they'd have to wait a while.
Well, they want to go that route to begin with. They actually wanted to split this into 5 lots and donate the whole front to the city. But there's no ordinance for them to do that.
Well,
and then the 1-3 also does not allow that.
Well, that's exactly why we're saying, you know, if people come to the table and participate, we are moving toward a new ordinance and we need the feedback from landowners about these kinds of ideas, because we as planning and our ordinances are doing bad things for the land. And we're making landowners do bad things for the land. And I think we need to work together on that. So you might share that with them.
Yeah.
With the wins.
Great. Thank you so much.
That's really nice.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. That's great. We're going to go back to the number 3. So, no, that's okay. Let's see. What I really want to do for this, and I'd like to explain, goals and training is really what I'd like to have our discussion going on to be in this section. And then it kind of moves into, as John said, then the section that we have below Andy's, which was the incentives for the attainable housing. And I guess that's just basically, that was the other part. We were gonna split it up, but what I'd like to do is have a discussion about goals and training here and start with what the memo from Lee was stated and see if there's any agreement or discussion that anybody wants to say about what Lee said in moving forward with a focus to get things going.
Are we talking about Lee's memo for the
You're for the distractions memo?
Yeah, the distractions memo.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to do that. And I really want everybody to have a chance to say what they want to say before we come up with any, you know, real decision on any of this.
You want to go maybe like,
pardon?
Do you want to go by name maybe?
Yeah. Does anybody want to start?
Sure, I'll start.
Thanks, Colleen.
Colleen Thompson. So I like Lee's memo. I think we have been getting really distracted. I think it's one of the things that we're having some major problems with. We did a lot in the planning commission, different things with Lee, and it seems like a lot of issues and things that we did, there were things that weren't finished properly. And that's really the only way that I know how to say that. And I think that has to do more with the conditional use permit checklist in that. In that situation, but I don't want to go into that right now. And so I personally feel like too that the subdivision ordinance, we've been trying to get into that for at least a year or so, and we got a little sidetracked with the other thing that we've been doing as far as you know what I'm saying, as far as the symposium that we had in November.
But the subdivision is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. So all I'm saying is that seemed to pull this in a different direction. We're almost finished with that. And because of the legislature, now we're going to be required to go through the subdivision ordinance and make some changes. And so that we also want to talk about Boulder Elementary School and what is going to be best for them. And John brought up, you know, some information, and so did John. You know, do we want an RV park? Do we want to look at Lee's page as far as this one from April 26th on how we approve housing, which would just be the accessory, changing that, the accessory dwelling unit. Definition on that. And if we do the I'm not so sure I want to do an RV park there either. When I realize that that's kind of different, but I also realize too that it can become a commercial, and so that's another way to look at it. And so I'm just going to try to make this quick here. I know we're having a problem, not a problem, but an issue defining the zoning administrator's role and our role. And I still want to see us try to do that together with our conditional use permits and the subdivision ordinance. I like the fact that we would work together a little bit more. I think I'm just going to kind of leave it at that.
Great. Thanks, Colleen. Can I just clarify when you're talking about the ZA or zoning administrator's role, you're talking about having we being the commission working with the ZA in some form or other?
Well, we do right now in a way. I mean, you know, John on his paper wrote all of the zoning administrators what they're supposed to be doing as far as the checklist, but he didn't really go into what the planning commission is responsible for too, because we're responsible for that also.
Okay, I get that. Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I'm saying. And does it take something a little bit different than what we've been doing as far as, like, I remember Curtis saying that we in towns that the planning commission would go with the zoning administrator. Well, Curtis was so good at what he did
but he did most of it by himself. He never really thought about calling any of us up and helping us, but he said it's a common practice. And it gets us used to using not only the checklist, but then we start knowing about the subdivision ordinance. I think better when we are using it. And I'm going to use an example, and I'm just going to say basically because I knew that this property on the corner was going to come before subdivision ordinance. And I talked to Tim a little bit about it as far as trying to help him understand what that process was. And April talked to him about it too. And it helped me understand the subdivision process more because I didn't give any advice, basically. I just kept referring him to where he had to go. And April was the next person that he talked to. And so I felt that that really helped. And it's the same thing with the conditional use permits. My personal opinion is that we still have not given the old one a chance. I know we went through it and I kind of have some questions, but I also agree with Lee. It's not the top of my list right now.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Shelley, do you have something?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know I was going to be able to talk though. My suggestion on the table, as I did what Colleen said, very structured and everything. She put a lot of thought in it. But mine would take our, you know, we have to handle the community first. That's our main goal. But we should have a structured meeting better, in my opinion, because I've seen it so around and I'm new. So don't take me down for this because I'm still learning. But I would like to see goals of us that we have to handle the community first. We've got to break our agenda up where it's four or five different focuses and get to those instead of jumping around and always have one of our focuses on emergencies that come up because we always have things that will come up. So me being critical about it, but I wanted, that's my suggestion on our agendas. To put it in so many focuses that we need. First, our community, first, another one, training, another one that's got to be open to whatever comes up we have to address, and then whatever else focuses we need. The training one, I called you as soon as I was got wind of it, and looked into a lot of videos of what kind of trainings.
Right.
And you know that I was in a training place where a lot of people put these put these training things online and so on. That's what this area was. And what you feel is important, we got to put out there to all of us and say, what do you need? And put it in a priority and hit that every meeting. And I like the idea that we can get maybe even together before our meetings, have a little dinner planned or something. I can pitch in potluck or something like that and spend an hour at least going through at least one or two focuses of what we actually need to be better planners.
That's a good question. Just to clarify what you said, that when you talk about community, what specifically are you referring to there?
Well, our focus is always our community and their needs, correct?
But I mean, how would, because you talk about training, there's a process, business. I'm just trying to.
Okay, maybe I'm a little over the way, all over the place. My first thought is the agenda, okay? Of breaking it down in focuses. And in those breakdowns, if we want to take our training and spend an hour before our meeting and have training time where we can have question and answers, okay? Have a little dinner, be casual about it, watch videos, whatever we need. If you give me an idea of everybody of what they need and we'll prioritize it, that's what I think we should do to be more efficient in our time.
and community. That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, community is why we're here. You know, we're volunteering all this time, and it's unbelievable how much time so many people put into researching and everything on these projects. But I can be better as a planner when I'm more informed of how it's run. You know, I've gone through a lot of meetings, and I've been with some VIPs, but I've never been so formal about procedures and so on as I've seen here, you know. And it's just, I'd like to see us more focused, more goal-oriented.
Okay, great.
And I put that forward as doing it maybe even before, if that's an option for us. Thank you.
You know, Nancy.
Go ahead. I'm the alternate. I'm happy to go last.
Okay. Elena?
I don't have much to say, honestly. I agree that I would be interested in some more training. I'm not sure, honestly, exactly on what for me. I think in some ways, the thing that feels most important is, yeah, being more familiar with some of these checklists that we go through, and when someone's coming with an application, being more prepared to handle their application properly and make sure we're looking at everything from every angle. I guess that feels like my main goal in terms of training.
How about your goals, where our focus should go going forward here, as far as all of the different things that Lee brought up, as far as
maybe in terms of the community goals rather than training goals, is that what you mean?
In terms of our goals as we move forward as the planning commission.
Yeah. If you mean sort of what he was lining out about subdivisions and setting aside distractions, I agree with that. I think honestly, something that feels present to me is even this most recent concept plan. I think it'd be good for us to start kind of lining out our goals, because this same piece of property a few years ago was proposed to have a subdivision that would have really offered a lot of affordable housing in town. I think honestly, it was probably the best proposal that we could get in that sense. It was locals doing something at cost for other locals, and our ordinances weren't in a place and our government wasn't in a place to accept that. And I think that was a real missed opportunity. So to see it now being proposed to be something else and something that's much less affordable and not for locals. And that's not a dig at the current owners. It's just a comment on our process. I think, yeah, it feels really important to me to do what we say we want to do and actually make this stuff a little more doable for people so that we don't miss out on opportunities like that going forward.
So working on the subdivision.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Go ahead, John.
Okay, a couple things here. One thing I do, you know, you brought this up the last time, Glenn, and I really support the idea that one way to have things come in a little better shape for action when they come to the meeting is to have one PC member assigned by the chair work with the ZA and the applicant, so that we're all five of us aren't expected to review every single document, but one of us plus April and the applicant go through it. That would be a much better process. And I think that gets to a general thing that I think one reason we have trouble moving forward is that we aren't doing enough preparation work before meetings. And what I'm realizing, if I try to do it alone or I try to do it just with Lee, ideas don't get vetted as well as if there was one more person participating. And we can have two PC members plus any number of staff and members of the public on a committee that vets an idea and discusses them offline, so that what's brought to the meeting now isn't one or two people's opinion, but a larger group's opinion, because the more opinions would help. So I think that's one thing that would help us. Regarding training, yes, I think, you know, the idea of the pre-meeting, when I was on the air quality board, we quite often did round bag lunches. Having the food made a much more informal setting, but since we had a quorum, it was noticed as a public meeting. If they wanted to bring their lunch, they could too. But the thing about watching videos is if I watch it alone, and like this afternoon, I did watch one from the Utah Land Use Institute. They had a live seminar on the recent case laws, which was all about conditional uses. And I got a whole bunch of ideas, but you know, you guys didn't see it. If we watch a video of that seminar together and then immediately discuss it, we start thinking, okay, well, that doesn't really apply because it only applies to big cities. This is really important for us at Boulder because we have, you know, we can really start internalizing it. So I think that would be a very good format. And I think probably where I'd say we should start more than anything else is with the seminars on state law and planning commission responsibilities. Utah Land Use Institute has a whole bunch of those. I think all of them are helpful because that's the legal framework we have to work within. So that's probably where I would start. Also, there are ones on running good, you know, Robert's rules and things like that. If you mm-hmm. want. So more on the procedural and high level, how we go about doing business is what I prioritize for training videos, but I'm certainly open to anyone's comments on that. I was going to remark in some ways, and this is, I'm not attacking Lee Nelson anyway. I think he had his best of intentions in any of these, but you know, he has tended over the last year and a half to bring a number of things to us that we didn't ask for. We didn't ask for bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ask for
bylaws. Yeah, you guys had a discussion about of how to proceed with your meetings and stuff, and then that conversation turned.
Well, then but he said he took the initiative on that first bylaws memo. We didn't specifically ask for a minor subdivision ordinance.
Yes, we did.
Well, we talked about the new subdivision ordinance, but he took it.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. What?
We did talk about minor subdivision.
Okay, so let John finish, and then I'll let you comment after. Okay.
Yeah. Vested rights ordinance. So I think he's brought good ideas to us, but but now he's saying the right thing, which I would support, that we need to focus on subdivision ordinance. I previously have said that I think that. You know, we need to be a little more systematic. We want to get to an ordinance that's a good ordinance and does what we want. First, we've got to say, okay, our mission is we want whether it be a minor subdivision ordinance or a incentive-based subdivision ordinance, our overall mission, we agree on that. Then I think we need to have a discussion as a planning commission. Okay, what do we want to accomplish with this? Just as bullet points. We want to preserve agriculture. We want to do this, we want to do that.
Which go ahead.
Yeah. John. And then we'll find that there are often trade-offs that to do one thing interfere is sometimes inconsistent with one of the other objectives. But have that discussion. But get down to a list of bullet points of what we want to accomplish. Then we can start doing ordinance language. Whereas if we jump right to ordinance language first without coming to an agreement on the objectives, things get lost. And when we cut to the Boulder Elementary School discussion, I will be right there on that issue again. So I think being a little more systematic that each month we set a goal, that this is a step toward the ordinance we want to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
is the thing.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm not sure. I've been struggling with that same thought too. So, and as far as how to set that up. So, Nancy, would you like to say anything?
Sure. And I'm the newest member of the Planning Commission, but I did serve on a Planning Commission in another community. So I bring a different perspective in terms of sort of the processes and procedures we use there. I'm going to come back to your comments, Shelley, about the agenda and the formality of this. My understanding, this is a policy body. It's an advisory body. And what we used to be reminded in my old life is you're not having a conversation. You are making policy and you're following Robert's rules of order in order to have an efficient way to do that. So, you know, you're not just chatting with each other the formality of this. You're really here to set policy. And one thing that helps with that are bylaws. And I've sort of said this before, that the bylaws are how you conduct your business. And they help set the agenda. We used to have bylaws that would say, here's the order of the agenda. You have action items, you have information items. And so whether you call those foci or just different topics on your agenda, but it would lay out, you have public comment, you have action items, you have information items. And you can do that in your bylaws. So that's, I will come back to saying, I think if we had a good set of bylaws, it would be helpful to how we work together. So that's one thing. And I, you know, is that the highest priority for me? It's a priority because I think it would help how the conversations go. We also used to have study sessions where they would be less formal. We would meet, whether we did it before a meeting, typically we would have another meeting in the month where we would identify a topic. Affordable housing was frequently a topic, or homelessness was frequently a topic. And then we'd have a discussion. We'd bring in experts. We'd, you know, around sort of share our own thoughts about how we might resolve whatever the issue was or what the ideas for how to move forward. And it strikes me that the subdivision ordinance might be something that we would want to tackle that way. That and whether that's bringing in information from, you know, the Utah State Planners Association, who will help us understand what some of the changes in the state law are, focusing obviously on the goals that the community has and how we do it. I do think this, you know, the Wynn property is a key example of talking about, you know, here's something that would be an example of cluster housing or a way to keep open space on part of it. So I do, for me, the subdivision ordinance code is an important priority because I think it affects the whole character of the community. I think April's role is important to clarify because Lee said it in his memo and in my experience with zoning staff and planning staff and planning commissions, the staff plays a much more assertive role is perhaps the wrong word, but a more definitive role up front, that the planning commissioners are volunteers. We approve or we discuss any recommendations that that may not be clear, but that the zoning administrator makes the recommendations based on whatever the applicant has provided, complying with the rules or the ordinances. Now that's not necessarily the case here now, but I think it's important for us to clarify if that's the role that a zoning administrator can play in Boulder, then let's set it up that way. It might mean more hours, it might mean, you know, different training or whatever it would take, but I think that would help the Planning Commission actually focus on the policy changes and other things that need to be done. And then I don't have a good sense of the priority for Boulder Elementary School. I mean, I understand the desire to make the change, but I don't know if it's a pressing issue. I mean, so that's, it's hard for me to say, you know, it should be at the top of our list of things to do.
Great. And we will be talking about that when we get to the housing incentive part of this. So sorry, my back is driving me crazy, so I'm gonna stand for a second. Are you done, Nancy?
I am done.
Okay, great. These are all great comments. And I have been trying to figure out how this could maybe move forward. And I guess I would like to share a couple things that I've thought about as far as moving it forward. One is that we actually do set up more of working groups for one or two at the most planning commissioners, and with maybe even an invite to some of the people who work with us in the housing or anybody in the community that you feel would be
a good discussing some of the issues in the subdivision ordinance, or I guess that's mostly, I think we're all on the same page as putting the subdivision ordinance pretty much at the top of the list. I did get a hold of Five Counties Association of Governments about finding out more about the requirements that we're going to have to do for the state. So that's like a part of what we need to do for the subdivision, the possibility of getting together maybe as a group before the next meeting and breaking the subdivision down into parts so that we kind of figure out what training for those things that are interested in training that we need to really delve into that. Five Counties has some, could have some help for us. I think the Utah League of Cities has is working very much on getting some rural Utah help in planning stuff and in specifically dealing with housing and then the requirements the state is putting forward for us. Lee's recommendation was that in fact we sort of let other cities start to figure out what they're going to change in their ordinances as far as, I mean, consensual plan is basically out of the process. So hopefully that will, we don't need to dive into that right away, but we definitely have a lot more to dive in as far as the subdivision ordinance. Let's see, I just want to comment on a couple of things that everybody said. So from looking at what everybody said, could we get an agreement that maybe we consider getting together before the meetings for a specific focus to discuss on the subdivision? How will we get, so basically, I guess maybe two of us could get together and decide, like break down the subdivision in some kind of form that we can have something to be read before the meeting. So we're having more of a group work on focus on that.
Can I say that?
Sure.
So I seem to be going back to what we did when we did the general plan, looking at these. As far as Carla got people together, we had certain groups that people, the community got together that they wanted to discuss that kind of a format where we do include the public. We have like six groups of people talking about different subjects, which is what we did with the general plan and how we came up with quite a bit of information. You know, I mean, that's just a suggestion.
Right.
And getting together and figuring out, which is what we did, was figuring out how to get that started. Because I know that you guys, well, I mean, we talk a lot about how to bring the public in along with each of us so that we get that information, you know, and each one of us. So, you know, that's all I'm saying is how to get maybe started as far as the hour ahead.
Right. Interesting. Okay, great. Go ahead.
I just want to comment, sometimes we don't have to reinvent the wheel too. Maybe we should get another county that's already gone through this growth and see how they've handled it. You know, whatever county you want, I can call and find out what their planning commission did with theirs. I like it kind of local because it's more close to what our environment and everything is.
That's great. Okay, so I did, again, reach out to the five counties and also, well, and they got back to me. So I have a couple names of people, and Nathan was one of them, and he suggested a number of places around. Rockville was one of them, which was one when I was on the planning commission before that has similar issues that we are working with. Brian Head has also been working on a attainable housing project there. So we do have some resources on that. We can start to look at Also, Escalante is working with a planner that is going to help them through the state changes too. So we have lots of resources.
We kind of need to know that too first, right? I mean, what exactly do we have to incorporate or take out of our subdivision ordinance?
What's worked for them? And
no, I mean, talk about the changes. New legislature as far as what we're going to be required, as far as what we have to be, what we even start with. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that kind of why we're doing it? Is the changes through the legislature?
Well, and I also think that the whole housing thing is something that we're still kind of trying to figure out, the attainable housing and the
right.
split of land and
yeah.
and
yeah.
discussing whether, you know, what we got from Lee the last time as far yeah. as how we want to approach that. Go ahead.
So it seems like the Utah League of Cities, as you said, is working on some rural guidelines that would incorporate whatever the state legislative changes are. So I don't know what the timing is there, but that seems like it would be really useful to bring that in. But would there be an option to, we all sense, and it was interesting to hear that the Winds want to do something different, but they can't. Would it be worth putting the call out to the community to say, you know, we are going to revise our subdivision code. What would you like to see done? I mean, what would, you know, what is it that's getting in the way of you managing the property the way you'd like or whatever? I mean, just solicit ideas, then have sort of a study session or a workshop before our meeting and take some of those ideas and chew on. So it would be an opportunity for the public. I mean, people can come to the meeting. It would be a public meeting, but we'd also solicit input first.
Isn't that the purpose of your housing?
The housing providers work yeah. group. Mm-hmm. And it's been like pulling teeth. I've found that the best thing has been to set up something, phone somebody, and get them to talk on the phone.
But somebody like the Winds, they're not housing providers. Yeah. I mean, but they are affected by the subdivision.
Well, yeah.
So well, they may have ideas.
What I've included with the housing providers is all the big landowners, as well as the people who do have some real estate background. But because there's really only a handful of people in town who've got big enough parcels that a lot of these incentives would really make sense for them. But yes, in fact, I have a draft survey that I've got to send out here. I just got comments back from Lee Nellis on that draft survey today or yesterday. But yes, you're on the right track because I think we want input from the community on what the barriers
are. Yeah, what are the barriers?
And I think we're pretty close, but you know, I find every time I talk to someone, I learn something. So it is a productive process.
Right. But having that input prior to then the Planning Commission having a discussion about what changes do we need to make yeah. to the subdivision. Yeah.
I think we have at this point two completely disparate things that are grabbing to do with subdivisions. The state law changes were entirely procedural, mm-hmm. and they were largely a developer's dream. They've limited the amount of public comment to one hearing, and they've streamlined the process of what we can require on a subdivision application. But that's all procedural. The other part is creating the incentives. So if there's an or cluster subdivision, and I think the word cluster is bad because it says, oh, put all the houses together. Well, no, that wasn't really the objective. I call it an incentive-based one that would allow people basically bonus density. And I think this is the one that Lee brought up in the memo, and I think yeah. it's the one we should probably discuss first because that's the high-level objective. Are we willing to give people increased density in exchange for either affordable housing set-asides or open space preservation set-asides. If we agree in principle that we are willing to give incentives with bonus density, then you can get down into what kind of rules do you use, what kind of definitions of who's eligible, how the formulas work, and all that. But we really need that first discussion. And we could even
really go into that, I think, tonight, since it's just a discussion.
Yeah, right.
We'd like to consider, and just as a rough formula, we say we allow you double the number of lots because the default is 1 per 5 acres. We allow double that if a significant portion of the land is set aside as permanent agriculture or a certain number of the lots are set aside as deed-restricted affordable housing. Are we willing to consider that or not? And I think that's where that's the high-level question we need to start with. And if we agree on that, then we can start having a working group look at details of what the rules would look like.
Can I just say, but if we are going to include the public in these discussions, I think we should have a list of all the possibilities that we've already talked about. I mean, we've already talked about the house, the housing thing in 2017. We've, you know, we've had those discussions. So let's just make a list of all the incentives for this. And would people be interested? I mean, not only dividing your land, having the ability to divide it in a different, in more practical ways for, you know, the landowner, but also including, you know, multiple units or, you know, what all these other things that we've incentives that we put together, the group that I was with talked about, the vision group has a list of things that they were willing to, or talked about at least. So if we were going to use the public, yeah, we would get that going right away.
I think what we, you know, we had the housing work groups. Maybe we should have, in fact, we did imply that we were going to have another housing community meeting in the spring, which is upon us.
Right.
Where we actually present, okay, this is how far the three work groups have got together, have come. Now let's start putting those together and see what that, what the obvious next steps will be. I do have something very close to, I think what you and Nancy are asking for, it wasn't quite right to put on this meeting. So I've just kept it, but I can share it before the next meeting. But I think that's something that needs to go out to the public and get feedback on some of the options.
Right. So some form or other.
So it's interesting that you say that that's not finished really, but we got the information from Elena. We have that information now. Tina and the group that you and I worked on, mm-hmm. we had two solutions basically. And you have a direction that you're going into too. And so I felt like we had kind of ended it like last month or so. Maybe I might have been wrong about that. And I'm not saying basically, I'm just saying that because I feel like we've kind of covered that for the last year. We know where we're at. And what do we do with the information that we got from that? And one of the things about this project that's going on at the corner was that they wanted to try and help give a piece of property to either the town or, you know, how do they do that? And we can't do that right now. Like the town is not set up to take property, you know, and that's kind of what your group was doing as far as, you know. And so anyway, I think the thing is too, is I feel like we got answers. Like I thought it was interesting that Elena's group, Elena is here, you know, I never know which direction. She had 38 people that answered that. And I felt like there were answers there. People do want to own homes, their homes. Elena, I don't know if she wants to go in. Like, I don't know if you guys want to continue on with this, but we did get answers. And what do we do with those answers?
I'll agree. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think your next step is the groups that you guys have charged, mm-hmm. maybe next month, bring in what your findings, if that hasn't been done.
Yeah. As a full group.
As a full group of this is what your findings are. That's what I would suggest for you, June meeting, and then that's where you can start moving on to other things.
Yeah, and I would suggest, since we need to have a pretty full plate of just mandatory PC business, that we do a special meeting as a community meeting where the agenda would be presentations from the housing work groups and community feedback on options, and getting written reports out to the community before that meeting would really help. And I'm, mm-hmm. That would be a concrete step.
Written reports from the groups.
Yeah, written reports that could be distributed to the community before the meeting. And then the meeting would be another community feedback would be largely community feedback to the housing work groups. I mean,
and the other thing I want to say too is this memo that we got from Lee on April 26th as far as the shortest path to approval of housing at Boulder Elementary School.
Yeah, that's a separate agenda.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this is kind of part of this too, as far
it could
as
be part of the
direction
that,
that we can take that, you know, it's right here, right? You know, if we want to go that direction.
I think bringing those together is going to be very important because there is some clear problems that are apparent with the three work groups. Elena's work group brought up some good statistics. People want to own homes. If you look at their income, their income wouldn't pay the mortgage on the lot, let alone putting in a house. So we clearly every community's got that same problem.
Yeah.
Lee sent me some stuff recently from up in Montana with Ed Butte, Montana, the huge disparity between incomes and housing prices. So that's the challenge we're gonna have to figure out now is how to reconcile. And the one thing the town can do is give incentives with the land use ordinance. We don't have money to give developers, but maybe we could give them some flexibility in how they subdivide and make it profitable enough that they can afford to do some affordable housing. So yes, I think we need solutions. Schedule a meeting. If we announce it now, we've got 3 weeks to the next town council meeting. Can we do this in 2 weeks or do we want to go after our next planning meeting to have a community meeting?
I'd probably rather go after myself.
Have a community meeting?
Yeah, you see, I mean, if we announced it tonight, we've only got
for
three.
What? To community. Discuss the three groups?
So three work groups and get feedback on. So the three work groups are going to have some recommendations. We start trying to reconcile the recommendations and get community feedback. But I think the timing, if we ask for written reports for the work groups to go out to the community before the meeting, we really need to be more like 5 weeks out, so after our next meeting.
Yeah, I think that's a step that we almost don't need to do because I I'm just saying this because it's so fresh in everybody's mind. I mean, think Nancy, I mean, were you were even a part of that before you came on the, the information, like do we have to have an actual, I felt like we kind of had some written information. We have Elena's survey.
I don't think we've presented it to the public. So I think we need to gather everything committees and present it to the public.
I see.
And then they can have more comments. And okay, so that's kind of what we're doing.
This far now, what do you
think? Now you have to present what your committees have found to the public.
I see.
And then you can get feedback from that.
And that's and if you it down
and then if you have reports ahead of time, they can review that and come with more comments.
Okay.
And again, I think that the incentives that have come out of those groups, whatever Lee has given us, should be all part of that those things for people to actually talk about and review.
Could we do that, but an hour before our June 8th? Planning commission meeting? I mean, could we?
That's your decision. So, I mean whenever if you want separate date or do it before.
Do it an hour before.
I just don't know if how long was your last one? Like, is it going to be more than,
but this is.
So, you might want to have a separate.
Informative.
Yeah, it's informative. I mean, here's.
But if you're going to want feedback
later, so it doesn't make it feel dark out.
I don't want to. We've got BES later in the meeting, so I will come back to that one. But you know, just the idea of RV pads for worker housing, it's controversial with people. That's the sort of thing that we need to throw it out there and let to see how people react.
Or if they rather take their feedback. An ADU, so then we went this direction where the school was commercial, or it went, so that there's an option here because. If the school became commercial, that's a whole different thing too.
Yeah, I think we need a,
I see what you're saying.
Let me make a motion that we do a schedule separate meeting, nominally 5 weeks out. So it'll be after our next planning commission meeting. with the format being that we have requested written reports from each of the three work groups that could be distributed to the public in advance of that meeting, and that the purpose of the meeting would be to discuss those reports and get community feedback.
I'd be okay with that. Because that's
okay.
That's,
so is that a second?
I second that.
Sorry, thank you, Tina.
Do I have to restate that for Peg?
No, I got it.
Okay, good.
I got that.
Small.
All right, so 5 weeks. Do you Thursdays, or it would be the 15th, June 15th. If you want it to be on a Thursday and after the planning commission.
On a Thursday and after the planning commission. Yes, the planning commission is on the 8th.
Is Thursday good for the public? Or?
What day is
it? It's the 18th. The 18th, it would be the 18th.
The 15th.
Having the housing meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't seeing my computer well.
15th?
Yeah, June 15th. You're right.
I think I can do that.
Hey, can I have any more discussion on that?
I'll just weigh in. I think feeding this in small gulps may make it easier. So if you do an hour, here's what we found with the housing. What are some of your comments and reactions? And then we, the Planning Commission, take that into our next meeting and say, okay, obviously RVs or something we need to have a deeper discussion about. Let's have another hour on that, rather than trying to do it all in 3 hours. That would just be my reaction.
I think people will deal with that better.
3 hours?
No.
That's hard.
The sort of smaller goals, yeah.
Yeah, so it would be the 18th?
So 15th.
15th, 15th. Yeah.
Sorry, that was my fault, yeah.
15th.
So,
we have a vote.
We have a vote. Any other comments?
What time are you talking about? I need to raise the room. What time? Like the 6 or 7 is coming?
Yeah.
Or earlier? Or it doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, it could be any time.
Tim, when would you like to come to the meeting?
I'm kind of available anytime.
Yeah.
You want to do like say lunch? Or?
That's probably the
earliest.
Okay.
Say
6, June 15th.
Okay.
Okay. I don't get out of the garden by then, but that's okay. So we had a motion and we had a second.
Yeah.
So we do need a vote. Can we vote that we're going to meet on the 15th?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Unless you guys want to speak up. Your chance to speak up.
What? 6 p.m. Let's put the word tentative in there in case it needs to be some adjustment for room or logistics or something.
Yeah, 10 days. I like that.
We have a target date and time.
Okay.
I'd call it tentative so that it can be modified.
All right. So it's been moved in second. Can I have a roll call or a vote? A vote.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Shelly Price Gibson, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye. Okay. So we have a vote and it's positive.
Do you also want to maybe vote on setting up training like every other month or every 3 months? Do you want to, and not saying what training, but just have that guideline of, okay, we are going to.
We actually have a guideline for training. But,
I think so that each month, whether we want to do it or not.
Okay.
Especially in the summertime when it's light and stuff. Yeah.
So, what is that motion?
I'll make the motion that we, what is it? Make time for training an hour before each meeting.
I would say.
Yeah, but now.
Isn't that what it was put up?
Well, I think we should do it month by month to decide. You know,
she made a motion. She made a motion. So what's the discussion?
Month by month?
There was no second. It's died for want of a second. So I'll make an alternative motion that we tentatively have a training session an hour before the July meeting. And with the topic, but do we have a topic that we have prioritized?
We will have a topic and stuff. We've kind of prioritized it already. Didn't we?
We did state law.
You talked about two sessions a month.
We did, and it got voted down.
That's what I'm recommending. We decide each month what whether we want training and what the topic would be. So I'm saying let's discuss. Do we do a training for July? For June?
We should do one for June.
Well, I think that there should be probably a fair discussion on figuring out if we have our everything together for the public presentation on the 15th. At our, you know, we could add that as good what idea. We do.
It sounds like you're talking about a special meeting to plan for your community meeting like you did for the housing thing, right?
Right.
So you would need something coming up in the near future, a special meeting that's a more or less a work meeting to do that.
Well,
so,
could we talk about those two things at that meeting on the 15th?
Yeah.
Can we talk about two things on the 15th?
I'm talking about before that meeting. Okay. I'm talking about maybe even a May meeting.
Yeah.
Like a prep, some kind of special meeting. You can throw in what you want to throw in. But
special meeting. I don't have a lot of plans myself.
I think of that one for a second.
What's that?
My motion also died for want of a second.
Yeah. Sorry.
I threw it out there, but.
Yeah.
When can I have a motion about when we want to? I mean, we're talking about having a meeting for the community on the 15th.
Yes.
When do we want to plan that, or are we planning that tonight?
Well, I think we're planning. We can plan that as part of our meeting the week before.
Yeah.
As a proper regular business.
Okay, so the information for that meeting will come out then after.
Well, let's see. I think we could put out the announcement now.
That there will be
that there will be a meeting on that date.
Okay.
And that as we said, the format will be reports from the three work groups. That was in my motion. And the purpose of the meeting will be to discuss those reports, basically, and get community feedback.
Okay.
That means we need to have each of those committees get something that they could be sending out in the next couple of weeks.
How about when the notice of the meeting goes out, that you get those reports out? Because two of them, I think Elena's is done. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yours is done, Tina. Mm-hmm. And John, yours is close.
Well, mine's a summary. What I had was a questionnaire with specific ordinances. But the general, I've given same report for given 2 months now. So, yeah.
Okay, so each committee will have a report out when?
For June 15th.
For June 15th in the next 2 weeks? Is that what she said?
Yeah, that was my attempt. That in the next couple of weeks, we get the, whatever the which work we want to call the report for the public.
Okay.
In writing.
Yeah.
Because Elena has given it to us as, an oral presentation, but it'll be helpful to have that as a written document.
You are here. Okay. And that will be there. And you're talking about an announcement that would go out to the public sometime in the December
25th
Memorial Weekend.
Well, listen, now, how about the first of June?
Then you'll be pushing back, though, yeah. Right? Because our meeting's on the 8th.
Yeah, it's going to be early.
Hey, guys. Can I try to ask you to speak a little more directly into the microphones?
Sorry. Okay. I would like to make it on the information will go out on the 1st of June. Okay. So John made a motion.
I lost who made the motion. I'm sorry.
John made the motion that all groups get their information out to PEG before the 1st of June so that she can send out the invitation to the community for the 15th. That was John's motion. Is that correct, John?
That is correct.
Can I have a second? Okay. Colleen seconds it. Can I have a vote?
Colleen Thompson, aye. Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Rath, aye.
King Carlson, aye. Okay. You did two motions this meeting. This is great.
Yeah, and we have, and I think we decided we'll just defer our training for next month.
No, I have a question about that because our meeting is on the 8th, right?
Correct.
So wouldn't we organize it?
You can't have a meeting beforehand and do a general discussion, and then if there's any other discussions, you can talk more about trainings at that time.
I think we can organize the meeting
on the 8th.
On the 8th. On the 8th.
Yes.
And the question is, do we want to have a training session on the 8th?
That could be what your meeting before the June 8th meeting to discuss your June 15th, getting everything together. And then if you have any other discussions about training, then you guys can discuss that
at the meeting.
At the meeting.
Prior to your official meeting. So it doesn't hold up
whatever is happening
the rest of the meeting.
Okay.
So June 8th would start at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you would not have Lee Nelson. Well, he's kind of you'd be at 7 anyway. So
yeah,
talk about your plans for
okay.
That community meeting. And then if you guys want to just the trainings, just so it's separate from the official meeting, since things tend to take if you have more time.
Right.
In that hour.
Right. It can either be on our agenda or it can be with the discussion. I have a feeling we're going to be needing the hour for full discussion, but we'll definitely put training on the next meeting. Can we have what time is it?
It is 8:27.
Can we have a discussion about the proposal that Lee had on Boulder Elementary School project.
All right.
John, I'm sorry, you have the four items that you wanted to discuss.
Let's do something about the, let me just say really briefly. I think he's got great ideas. I think they're totally premature. At the last community council meeting, what I've discussed, I'll go back to the last school board meeting. What was clear is John Dodds wants a much clearer proposal before he makes any commitment.
From
the community, okay. As far as, you know, getting down to the details, exactly what are, and not just saying we want to put up an RV pad. Where are you going to put it? Where's the driveway going to be? Who's going to own it? Who's going to pay for it? How are you going to come up with the money to pay for it? I mean, those details all need to be thought through. And Lee has given us a very specific solution only if that happens to be the problem we need to solve. We may find that the school board doesn't back this thing.
Are we talking about April 26th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's what I say. But I think it's premature because there are several alternatives. You know, Josh Ellis brought up just restoring the exemption that the school district had until 2 years ago from our zoning ordinance. I think Lee wrote this memo because he didn't like that idea when I mentioned it to him. But it's an option that Josh Ellis has thrown out there.
Excuse me, would you say that again, John?
Okay, until 2 years ago, the school districts were exempt from local zoning.
Right.
And the legislature changed that.
Yes.
Josh Ellis' solution to the problem is that by town ordinance, we could just restore that exemption that they had until 2 years ago. Lee didn't particularly like that, okay? Yeah. I respect his not liking it,
you said. Towns are exempt from...
No, until 2 years ago, school districts were exempt from town zoning ordinances, just as the state park still is.
Right.
The legislature changed that for schools because of a flap over a charter school at Sandy. But that's one alternative.
But can the town override the state legislature change?
Yeah, because all we do is say that the town that the school district property is exempt from our zoning ordinance. That only amends our ordinance, so it doesn't override the state. I'm just putting that out as a totally different alternative solution. If I look at the general plan actually talked about setting up a new institutional zone, which is different than making the school commercial. But that's in our general plan to have an institutional zone.
Yep.
The school district may decide that they don't want to own the property of the trailer pad or house is on and say they want to subdivide rather than having it be part of their property. That would be it. So if we did this solution, that wouldn't address the other way that they might want to go. And I felt that another thing, that there's a statement in Lee's second page. He says, this would give BES a privilege that no other landowner enjoys. And that sort of bothers me because I think if we're going to address trailers for employee housing, we should address it in a way that benefits every business.
I agree. Yeah.
So, you know, so I think that until we have a better idea of what the school project's going to look like, that this solution to try to move it to an ordinance hearing is premature. And I think this is why we have to have this housing discussion and see how comfortable we are with the idea of legalizing all these trailers that we know people in, around town are living in. But, you know, we have the 90-day camping limit right now.
Yeah.
Which is a lot shorter than the tourist season. So we have to have that discussion. So I think really this is a great solution to one problem, but it's premature. And I think we need to look first at the high level of which direction, first, what does this school project look like? And then also, how do we want to address employee housing using RVs and campers as a community-wide issue rather than as a school-specific issue? So I think that's all I need to say. I think our discussion on the housing will definitely need to include RVs and campers when our discussion on the 15th.
Right, as an option.
So I think, you know, I respect this memo. I think we'll file it, but I don't think I would recommend trying to go to an ordinance right now on it.
Okay.
But I know that he's talking about having turning this into an ordinance, but we still can, this accessory building thing we've talked about too, and how much it would benefit us if we just changed the assessment, so that it was easier for people to have that accessory building on their property in general, not just for the school, but it was an option to create more housing.
Right.
So I see what you're saying too, but I don't want to throw the whole thing it is an option, right?
Yeah.
And then we have the option of going with clustering that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think these are good ideas and they need to be on the table as we go to discussing the new subdivision ordinance.
Yeah.
But he said, well, you could move right now on BES with this, but I say it's premature because we don't know if the BES project is going to look what it's going to look like yet.
Yeah.
And that's what I committed to work on this next month.
We need more information from them.
Yeah.
And they need, is that?
I agree. I think, and can someone explain to me, like, the accessory building versus the ADU?
They're the same.
Oh, it's the same. So an ADU is an accessory building.
ADU,
okay.
Accessory
okay.
Dwelling unit, ADU.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay. ADU.
It's in different areas with different names,
It says accessory building here too, and that there's a distinction here.
An accessory building in the past has been a building that is on a piece of property that is not that you cannot live in.
Yeah.
But we're bringing those two things together.
So what that was brought up is that you couldn't call anything built on the school an accessory dwelling unit because there was no primary dwelling.
Yeah.
And that's what Lee was trying to get around with these
buildings. Yeah. But in a commercial, if we consider a school a commercial property, then you would be able to have a dwelling on that based on the fact that it would be an employee housing situation.
Yeah. Right.
And it's a CUP, correct?
Right. But as I say, I'd rather not go into the details here because I think we need to start at the high level. What are we trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Right now, you're so... If the area is zoned commercial, yes, you can have the dwelling. But right now it's zoned for what, medium density?
Yeah. Thing?
No, so those rules don't apply. So yeah, there's just some of the issues.
So I think it's a nice attempt. It's worthwhile ideas to keep in mind. But it's premature.
In the future, for yeah. something else, in the future.
We need yeah. to get more information on the BES project, yes. as well as a better definition of how we want to approach employee housing in town.
Yeah.
Okay. Are so we all?
You want to go through, that was all there.
Yeah. So, John, I would like to give you some time for on the CUP, because I think that, this is kind of my opinion on the conditional use permit. I would like to, in some way, work towards finishing up getting the CUP application very usable. And that includes some work that would have to be set up for someone who could actually make the program that, or the application, allow for all of the information that needs to be in the application to be digitally put in some form, or that might be a help for all of this information getting to us if we have a better application form that can be filled in and follows the CUP process. So John has about
and are you going to go through this page, this that you gave it? Is this what you're looking at right here?
Tina asked me to.
You're not going to read it to us, are you?
No, we got it all in advance.
I think, yeah, I would like to see if, yeah. if there's any questions for John and or if there's.
Real briefly, and I apologize for putting the recommendations on the wrong order last time. The primary recommendation would be to, Lee has put a great deal of effort into that revised form, application form, which has the space for the scoring, but also a clear space for the applicant to put in their response to the questions. I really like that form. I think you put a great deal of effort in. I'd like to see us adopt that. That's the primary recommendation. The others are sort of secondary. The second one is basically administrator. That the idea that an assigned planning commission member and the zoning administrator meet with the applicant and go through the form and get the applicant's information documented. Number three is technical. But what is so clear from that seminar I watched today on case law, our ordinance doesn't clearly say why we want buffering, for example.
Why we want what?
Buffering or screening. What the state law says is that you have to identify reasonably expected environmental impacts. We have to name them. And then we have to propose mitigation for it. Our wording is just, I think our wording would be, have a hard time in court, but that's secondary because I think the principle of what we're doing is sound. I think the community goals that you came up with back before us on planning commission, they're sound, but I would suggest that we help us clean up some of our ordinance text to make it more clearly match the requirements of state law. And then the last one, if we're going to use the new application form, I really think we should just take the existing worksheet out of the ordinance. I have searched American Legal back and forth. I do not find any other lots of communities have checklists. None of them have the checklist in the ordinance because it's too inflexible once you put a form like that into an ordinance. So what so that's really the gist of everything else is sort of a justification of those recommendations. So I'm just open to people's comments and reactions. And do we want to move forward on this or just live with the system we have?
Can I clarify, John? It seems like you need to remove the checklist from the ordinance before you adopt the new application form.
Yes, but when I said that in the wrong order, it's sort of like, what? Wait, you're dropping the whole process. No, we're replacing.
Well, you can do it at the same time.
Yeah, well, you
change the ordinance and then you say we have a new form.
Right, and I would suggest we could put in some ordinance language that simply says that the Planning Commission may establish a numerical scoring system and application form.
That's needed.
That gives us the authority of the ordinance to do it, but it leaves us the flexibility to answer your question.
But his goal set is cohesiveness, right?
What?
Be cohesive, be keep doing the same thing all the time. So what we've done in the past is current to now. We haven't treated anybody different, right?
Yeah.
Always when we make these plans.
Yeah, I'm not proposing changing any of the standards, the commercial standards. I may have some personal issues with them, but I'm not proposing doing anything with those commercial standards at this time, but rather simply going to the new form, which has a lot more clarity. It's the new form is numbered so it's tied directly to the ordinance provisions, which is good. It has space for the applicant to explain how they're meeting those standards, which is good. But I'm not proposing changing the standards.
Why are you asking the applicant to explain? That seems like a lot. It's like if they go to April and talk to them and April says it's okay. I mean, for me, what I see is that there's just a lot more that this has become very, I don't want to say muddied, but even this right here, and I'm not saying that I don't want to. I've looked at this and I appreciate you guys getting this information to us ahead of time. That's all I wanted, would be able to have this information ahead. I agree that the worksheet and I agree that they need to be changed, both of them. The checklist, we did not make room for us to check things off, these boxes. From the original checklist that we had, which is right here. We never made ourselves room for boxes to check them out. That's the only thing that I see that needs to be changed between this and this. And so I know how many hours you spend with John. I mean, Lee Nell's talking to him. It's pretty obvious. I know that there was a lot of work that has gone into this, but there again, nobody asked him to do that. We didn't get to have any kind of input, some of the rest of us. We still think April has, we haven't listened to her as far as what she thinks about this. You know, I can live with this, but I just think we have so many other things to do right now. And I don't want to spend a lot of time because we agree that this checklist worked. We haven't had any problems with it, except that there's no space, basically, like he's created down here. And that's really my only comment. I think the thing is I realize that things need to be changed, and I get that, and updated, but I also want to make it totally clear that we have had no problems with what we have done. And I think it could be, I don't know. I guess that's all I really have to say. I just feel like I'd be willing to work with it a little bit, but I'm not convinced that this is it.
Any other comments? I would say that I definitely made an issue about the fact that the numbering was way off, and it was very the form did not really relate to what the application was doing.
I wish I would have made a bigger deal about that over a year ago when we knew it should have been sent in immediately to American Legal and had them change it immediately instead of waiting until we had other things to change that. So I totally understand. And I wish I would have pushed that more as a planning commissioner.
Yeah, hard to keep on top of that stuff. I mean, you work so hard but anyway. So, but I would like to go
I would like to go forward with Lee actually finishing up that checklist and so that it can be part of the application. Abel, do you have any comment on that?
Is there discussion of, are we leaving it in the ordinance or are we taking it out? I guess that's kind of what.
This would be a kind of a contradiction. So if we left it in the ordinance, we'd have the application fill out this form, but then we'd have to still do the old checklist because the ordinance says we must. I think taking it, given that no other jurisdiction is putting the checklist in the ordinance, I think there's good reason not to have it there, but to have it as a purely administrative form. Because right now, if it's in the ordinance and we find a typo,
yeah,
we have to go through two public hearings to fix the typo.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And I did want to mention to you know you were saying about why does the applicant have to provide those statements? And I think that's one thing that came out really clear in that seminar today, that you need to have a record that shows the reasoning. So if the applicant says, the impact is the building looks unsightly. My mitigation is that I'm doing this, this, and this. That's really his job to tell us why his application should pass and create the record. And in one case where the applicant got ultimately turned down, the judge said, if the applicant had done a better job of creating the record, the court's decision likely would have been different.
It's really up
to the applicant to tell April, who tells the town
exactly,
or tells the planning commission, this is what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
And I will say that the applications that we've had, most of them don't need to address these issues.
Right.
Yeah. Some of them are pretty clear cut. So it's only situations that need to be addressed that they need to probably fill things out.
Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, so should we just say that Lee and I can continue and get the pursuit on moving this along and bring something actionable?
Are you making a motion?
I think you made the motion, actually. You said,
okay, I would make the motion, although I am a chair. I don't know. Okay, I will make the motion that we move ahead with the application and bring it to bring it to a point where the application can be used by the zoning administrator and the ordinances follow the application.
So you should say work on the application, and then you will also need to work on updating the ordinance that will describe that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Prepare an ordinance update to go to public hearing.
Okay.
You made a motion to move ahead with producing the application such that it can be used.
Correct.
And address the ordinance changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
That'd be sufficient. Mm-hmm. I will highly second that.
Does that make sense to everybody? Is there any other discussion on that? Does that make sense?
Because you're talking about moving it out.
Okay. Correct.
Yes.
But keeping it. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Keeping it, but moving it out so that when the applicant comes in, it can be part of the application process.
Yes. And I totally agree with that. I totally understand that.
Well, good. So do we have a second? Oh, you second it. Can we have a vote, please?
Pauline Thompson, aye. Dolly Price Gibson, aye.
What do you think, Elena?
I'm feeling a little bit confused, so I might abstain.
All right. Do you want to ask your question?
Yeah, I guess so. Are we talking right now about just taking it out of the ordinance? And is there, I guess I don't see the downside of keeping it in the ordinance versus, like, I understand that maybe most municipalities don't do it, but I guess without it in the ordinance, how do we make sure that it's part of our process if we want it to be?
The ordinance will have to have the wording.
Yeah. So
within the ordinance.
Yeah. So the ordinance would clarify that a check that we're doing a numerical scoring process, but take the actual form out of the ordinance. So there's two parts to this. One is to finish the, for Lee to finish working on the checklist and then helping us develop ordinance language to support transitioning to the new form.
And then taking it out and it becomes part of the application.
Yes.
Right.
And that ordinance will address the application and the checklist.
Yes.
So he's working on finishing the application form checklist and writing a new ordinance that will address that.
So your motion that you're voting on right now is simply that you're going to take this action, not what the action is going to be as part of the ordinance changes.
Right.
We're moving in this direction.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Then Elena Hughes, aye.
Okay, John Brath, aye.
Across the night. All right. That's great. Okay. All right. So is there anything else within this? I think we've covered this topic. So I'm going to go on to staff reports.
Okay, so here's the notice I'm going to be posting for someone to take my position. If you want to read through it, but I plan to post it tonight. And it's basically saying hopefully that the town council will select this person at their June meeting so that there's going to be 6 months for the person to train before I leave it on December 31st. So that's my first part of my report. Secondly, as you know, email problems continue. I have moved full time for the time being to using the pegword41 of gmail.com, which I think you have been using. And that's what I've been sending things out to you with. Until the PC at boulder.utah.gov gets fixed, where I can actually mail things out to you with that, I have to use Gmail. So I can receive email on pretty much any address, including the PC address. I just cannot send things to you. So for the time being, just to keep things flowing, can you use the pegword41 at gmail.com?
Great.
It's peg, like peg work, all in word.
Peg work?
Peg no,
work.
W-O-R-K. Peg work, numeral 4, numeral 1. At Gmail. This, I'm not sure if you were planning to bring this up or not tonight, but talking about work groups that could form, it would be useful to me to have myself, April, and maybe a planning commissioner make some changes in terms of required formats that applications have to come in.
Yes.
So. Okay. If we can determine what that is, mm-hmm. then, and I'm thinking, you know, like the preliminary application for subdivision with all of the pieces and parts of that, it's going to be critical to mm-hmm. have things that can get distributed to you guys that you can open and so forth. So if we can do that, like in the next couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and is there a volunteer that wants to work with us on that? We're talking about formats and computer stuff.
I'd be willing to do that.
Okay. Yeah, great. Okay. Thank you. And just one quick question. Do all of you receive mailing from Utah League of Cities and Towns on their training opportunities?
Yeah.
I'll send you.
Okay. I recommend signing up, subscribe. There's things out there. Sign up for all of it because you never know. Where you sent me that thing from some training thing on running, right? It was to me and Jessica.
Oh, yeah. That was through the woman who does rules and regulations right. for towns, actually.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of extraneous training out there. And I agree with John, it's much more useful to be able to do it in a group where you can talk about it than just watching it alone. But there's a lot of things out there. And maybe the way things are set up now, you attend a training, maybe you preview it or something, and you get access to the recording later that everyone could sit in on. I mean, that's another possible way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I was thinking about that on training that, you went through a training basically, and you would like to maybe do that again with us, correct? So, I mean, it could be something that you actually looked into and went, oh, this would be great for the Planning Commission, and then we could all consider that in a training session.
Yeah, I think it would be really helpful before we start talking about ordinance language on the CUP process to for us to have taken some of the, as a group, and discussed some of the training, because state law is pretty clear about what we can and can't do. And having that knowledge base as we start writing our ordinance would be very helpful. So maybe Shelley, you and I could pick some good videos and handouts that would be used for a training session on state law regarding conditional use permits.
Okay.
In August or July, something.
Okay. Thanks. Is that everything?
All right. My only report is I am resigning as zoning administrator. so I can work with a transition when we find a new zoning administrator. But I'm hoping to do it rather soon by the June meeting. Hopefully, we can advertise and
advertise. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be a big loss, April.
You know, I don't think you should be allowed to resign until you find your replacement. Yeah.
That's what I told her.
It's just my other responsibilities and just needing some other time. But this is taking up a lot of time and energy.
Well, so. We have appreciated your expertise, so thank you. Mm-hmm.
I did make, although you announced your resignation, I did suggest, would having some very structured office hours and rules about turnaround time, so that, because I know you've got a life and you've got to manage things.
At this point, no.
Okay.
Not saying I wouldn't revisit things, but at this point, I think I need to take certain things off the plate and focus on my other job and other things I want to do.
What's your other job?
I work at Boulder Elementary.
Okay.
And I'm about to have training that's going to take a lot of time.
Okay. Well, I guess my I'm going to comment something on this too. So I think that PEG's going to work on different types or more. Shorter minutes, right? Shorter minutes.
A whole minute, yes. Go ahead.
Which means we all will need to listen to the tape so that we hear ourselves again, we hear each other, we have that conversation, we have a clear idea of what we've been doing and what we're having, but so that the minutes will be more specifically how what we voted on. And not in so much detail. So I highly recommend that. The other thing I would like to say is that in the past, we have actually done a accommodated a application based on the fact that it was not our fault that the hearing was not posted in time. And so I was going to bring this up earlier about Andy's application, but sounds like he's okay with us going ahead. But we have done that in the past when it was our fault that things didn't actually come together. So he could have had a hearing this time, and because the application also has to go to the town council. So something to think about, that's, I guess, neither here nor there, but at one point I was going to highly recommend.
Maybe Andrea's raised her hand.
Who's that?
Andrea Rice.
Okay, go ahead.
Andrea, did you raise your hand?
Hi, folks. Thank you very much, Tina, for bringing that to the council's attention.
we are okay, only because we don't want to make waves. We are under time constraints. So since it's been brought up, our vote would be enthusiastic yes, if you would be willing to pursue that line of thinking and accommodate a need that we do have. Thank you very much.
Can somebody clarify? I'm not sure what's going on.
So the 10-day notice did not go out in time due to Peg's email issues.
Oh, I see.
And so he wasn't able to have a public hearing. And so you guys weren't able to vote on his subdivision application.
So we could schedule a public hearing in 2 weeks, something like that.
I would say it would have to be the week of the 22nd to the 25th, probably, just for the sake of getting enough. And that's, if you do it on the 25th, that's only giving a week for town council to review the application.
This would be a public hearing. You guys would have another meeting in which there would be a public hearing on the preliminary application, and you would take action at that time
and make a recommendation that would go to council.
And you need 10 days, so.
Well, I basically have the thing ready to mail out. Uh-huh. So that. What's the 10 days? What's today? 11.
So 10. So if you did it tomorrow, it could be on the 22nd.
Yeah.
The 23rd.
And then for the town council, they meet on the 1st, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I would like to get that information out at least a week before.
Yeah.
So they have time to review that application.
Well, it's tight, it's doable.
Yeah.
So the 24th.
Yeah. I feel either 22nd or 23rd if you're willing to do that.
Yeah.
To make it
ideally that. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I will not be able to be there.
So we just need 3 for a quorum, right?
Right.
3 for a quorum. I'll be around. Whatever you guys want to do.
The 22nd is the music thing in the public. I'll put that.
It might be
better to wait so that the town council has a.
What you just said.
What? I mean, with the time constraints and the holidays, I just don't know that one.
Yeah.
Oh, the holiday.
Well, let's see. I mean, the 22nd would probably be the earliest feasible, and it doesn't have to be at night. Yeah. It's a special meeting, you can set it any time. Might you set it in the afternoon or something? Comments?
I don't have a lot going on right now.
You want to say throughout a time here? Then...
I can't really do times other than evenings with work.
I'm going to make 2 comments. I think, I have no problem scheduling a special meeting at some convenient time because I don't think there's going to be a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I think we're going to open the hearing and nothing's going to happen and we'll close it and be done if we have to go through the formal steps. The problem I do have is, as April has brought up and Peg's brought up, we put a lot of burden on our staff. We're all volunteers. And I'm not sure we want to be keep raising the bar as far as the expectations the community has for us, for how fast we process things, because we are going to continue to burn out our volunteers and our staff. So that's my only concern about doing it. I point out a lot of larger jurisdictions, they're just very strict. If it's not ready for a meeting for whatever reason, it just goes to the next month's meeting. It's not that you're entitled to 30-day turnaround. So, I support this. I think would be good for Andy. It's a nice gesture, but I'm concerned about then the next, every other time we make have a issue, we're going to be now we're establishing this precedent that we do a separate meeting.
We're not going to have any more issues because we're going to fix the format problem and we're not going to have the email situation. That's this true. Was in, this should not have been on the applicant's plate. The no. applicant met the requirements.
Yeah.
And this was entirely a technology fault. I'm not even blaming myself. I'm blaming the inability to deal with the software that we were working with.
Okay.
So I don't think the applicant in this situation, I don't think it's setting a precedent. I think in this situation, the applicant should not be penalized for technical difficulties.
And didn't that happen? I mean, that happened to somebody else recently. Yeah. But Elena. Otherwise,
it happened to me too. I do think if the applicant, it does, these timelines are so long and you're waiting another month to get reviewed every time. I do think if the applicant gets things in on time and they want to insist on a special meeting, I think that we owe that to them.
We need a quorum.
So, we need a quorum.
Yeah.
It
usually put other things on the special meeting.
We did last time.
Yeah. That you actually do
it. The special meeting that we are having right now could coincide with that. We could add it to that, but it's too late.
You have to have a regular meeting and then you go out of your regular meeting into a public hearing. Okay. So the public hearing isn't in and of itself. It's got to be part of a meeting. And the meeting can have a more of an agenda than just the public hearing. So
do they need a public hearing before the TC?
No.
Before they go?
No.
They don't need a public hearing for the TC doesn't need to have a public hearing.
I don't think so. I think on an ordinance change, maybe, but not for preliminary application.
We're the ones that have
the hearing. Yeah, you have the hearing.
Okay.
So I think if Elaine is going to come, it should be in the evening on one of those dates, like the Tuesday or whatever.
I would say Monday or Tuesday, no later than that.
Can you do Monday?
I can. Monday's better for me. I've got the group Tuesday night, which I've committed to. So
I want you all to come to Delta.
You just need your quorum and you need the Zoom. You need a recording and you need a quorum. So, okay, pick your best day.
Okay, I need a motion. The 21st? Are we talking the 21st?
The 23rd, Tuesday night.
No,
the 21st.
22nd is Monday.
22nd is Monday.
Oh, 22nd is Monday.
And that's the night that Delbert's in the park. So,
yeah.
No, you won't necessarily get people.
That's not true. What time is that?
7.
7.
Can you start it a little early? Like, can you do a Tuesday meeting that starts at 5:30 or?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Elena, can you meet at 5:30? Is that too early?
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do Tuesday at 5:30.
So okay. Tuesday's fine. This is on Monday.
Wait. Monday at
5:30.
Okay. 5:30. Yeah.
Sorry. 5:30.
Okay. We're doing Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
We're still doing Monday?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Okay. 22nd, so, Monday, May, 5:30.
So So we need to have a quorum, and I'm not available.
Who is available?
I am.
Okay, we have a, okay, great.
And Elaine.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
From the Risers. That's wonderful, guys. Thank you.
We appreciate that so much. Thank you. We know you guys work hard for not a lot of recognition. Thank you very much.
We don't have a motion
to vote
that, do we?
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'll agree. Yeah. Who wants to make the motion?
Go ahead. We're getting good at it.
Okay, I make a motion that we have a special meeting on May 22nd for the hearing of the Rice's subdivision. And if someone wants to include anything else in that, they can do that before the meeting.
Can I just say other agenda items?
Other agenda items.
I'll second that.
Okay, can I have a vote, please?
Colleen Thompson, a yay. Yes.
Shirley, yes.
Lena, yes.
John, yes.
Nina, yes. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
Can I just make one comment among us? I know that we're hoping that this will never happen again. But in the event that it does, it might be wise of us to, once that happens, schedule the public hearing. You know, like that could have been scheduled maybe a week ago or whatever, because then we don't run into quite the same time constraint of needing the 10 days to get the public hearing out and then also giving them time to get on the next town council. Whereas had it been scheduled, you know, a week ago, that maybe all could have been a little easier.
But you need to discuss that in your meeting, so.
I don't think that's what happened with mine. I'm pretty sure we picked another date via email and moved along, I think.
With yours was there was already a public hearing
set
and they just added you to the agenda. Yes,
exactly.
So that's what happened with yours. It was already a special meeting.
So otherwise we can't set a meeting outside of a meeting.
No, that's kind of under the bad business thing.
Fair enough.
Making a decision without being in public is a no-no.
Yeah.
But we can hold electronic meetings.
Yes, we could hold electronic meetings if we needed to. Okay, let's do the final public comment. Is there any final public comment?
Jennifer.
Judith Dial speaking. I gotta get you in.
I just wanted to say, well, first of all, thank you all. It's a very tough job, and I know that you're doing the nitty gritty, and the nitty gritty is what we need. Because, for example, we didn't have the nitty gritty done, and now we've got a situation with that subdivision that's not what we really want. So I just wanted to encourage, because when Rachel had her subdivision come up. And you approached Rachel and said, you know, that's really, can we do something different with this? Can we figure out a way to make this work? It doesn't really fit in with what our objectives are. And Rachel was really, I thought she really came back and was really receptive to that idea. And at least that's the impression that I got when I was listening to that. And tonight, I know that you kind of approached the wind or the fellow who was representing the wind or whoever that gentleman was. But I sensed from him that there was some, you know, with their offer to try and give some of the land to the town, that they had a sensibility that was in our favor, that could be appealed to. And I would really like to see that possibly the general plan is some, I mean, I don't even know that the winds really understand, or the purchasers, and maybe they do, but how sensitive that piece is, and how I think it's a perfect example of what the general plan is trying to protect with agriculture and historical use. And just, it's a really prime spot. And so I don't know if it's possible, maybe this is not your job, but if there was a way to appeal to them on a more just kind of a community level about what this town is and what the general plan says and how that lot fits into that, and if there's any way that they could be patient, rethink it. It seems like it's not so far along that they couldn't be appealed to in some way. And so anyway, that's all. Okay. Thank you all very much for your time. I know it's late. Thank you. Good night.
I'll make a comment just with Jennifer. There has been some discussion, but I believe they want to move forward now. And since the subdivision process is a year, they're ready to move forward now.
I get it. And they have every right to do that. I was just hoping that there might be some sliver of a window to change it in a way that was more in line with what the community has in mind. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Okay, go ahead, Judith.
Judith Gall speaking. I just wanted to thank the volunteers for this planning commission, and I'd like to particularly thank Faith Smith for the work she's put in, and I hope her legacy can be carried forward with a new applicant. And April, too, thank you for your time and work. I also support the direction you're moving, which is simplifying the process and trying to come to some community decision as to the best avenue. I don't think there is one set answer. I think you're always going to find diversity and conflict. But I think simplifying the process for discerning what is best, not what is necessarily the only alternative, is the best direction to move. And again, thank you for all your work.
Thanks, Judith. Anyone else?
I'll make a motion that we end the meeting.
Okay. No one else? We have upcoming business. Okay, so we're having a meeting on May 22nd. Possible, whatever agenda item.
So public hearing for sure, and maybe you want to talk about the upcoming community group 150. Okay. Is it too early to get started talking about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
What did you say? On May 22nd, the special meeting, certainly the public hearing is on the agenda, and I'm wondering if maybe you want to include part of your discussion on planning for the upcoming June 15th community group. Sure. I'm just throwing that
out. I mean, as long as we're having that meeting, if we could include some, you know, whoever can come. I mean, that's what John was saying, too. Basically, it's hard to get everybody together all the time for all these meetings, and it's we have just a core even, and we can talk about some things to, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but.
You had several work meetings in September and October that
didn't,
some didn't even have a quorum, but you had to make plans for the housing forum, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, is there anything else
that you have
on that?
Okay, so for next month, then we will have some progress on the, well, let's say we'll finalize everything for the meeting on the 22nd.
Yeah.
I think we should have
on the 15th.
That corrected. We also should have some discussion about the direction, the goals of what we want to do on the subdivision ordinance. I think there's enough that we already know that we can at least start listing them and then present that at part. And in part, we can also present that at the 15th meeting, saying, here are things that we have agreed as a planning commission. We think are priorities. We want community feedback. For now, let's tentatively put the CUP process on the, I don't think we'll have an ordinance for hearing, but we could certainly show some progress on that item as well next month.
On the application itself?
Yeah, on the application form, whatever time we've got to put into it.
Okay. Great. And so, will you be working with
Lee?
With Lee.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to work on the application as far as the technical part of it together. Okay. So we'll have a technical report too.
Are we going to do that before that meeting?
What?
Are you talking about the work group for the format?
Yeah, well, if we get that.
I mean, you and I can.
We can do that offline.
Yeah. But if I'm going to do that, there will be a report at the meeting? Maybe. Yes. Okay.
Yes, we have to tell people.
Yeah. Okay.
And could I suggest that you also revisit deadlines to make sure that we set some the last time with calendar
never
days.
We've never officially set deadlines.
No.
They were addressed in the bylaws, but you have not adopted bylaws. So nothing has changed that you have not officially changed.
So those could be an administrative policy.
But you had originally set June as when you were going to adopt bylaws.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think Lee agrees to set that aside for now.
I think so too. Well, you've gone through them, you've reviewed them, and you've made some.
Is the deadlines within the ordinances?
No,
they aren't.
Except for the 10-day.
Yeah, most jurisdictions just leave that up to staff to set the deadlines for what things need to be filed.
Okay, I mean, it was the discussion was it's going to be put in the bylaws, and so things had.
Right.
So. Yes, we can address that again.
Yeah, but yeah, bylaws and I mean.
But shouldn't that be part of the administrative process?
Yeah,
those deadlines.
That's got to work for her in terms of when we get the files and what formats and what time she needs to do her work. With your
your
successors.
Well, no, the administrator stuff addressed in the bylaws. It was the administration was addressed in the bylaws. That was the direction you guys were going in. So we didn't deal with anything because it was you guys were going towards the bylaws. So
we have to have bylaws. We are required by state and ordinance to have bylaws.
We can accept your whatever bylaw you come up with for the timing of paperwork. How's that? We would appreciate your input on that. And we'll accept it, probably. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else for the meeting? Okay. All right.
Can I make a motion that we close the meeting.
Okay. There's a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second?
I'll second it.
All right. Shelly, second. Voting, please. A vote, please.
Colleen Thompson, yes.
Billy Price Gibson, yes.
Elena Hughes, yes.
John, yes.
Tina Carlson, yes. Okay, thank you, everyone.
What would happen if someone voted?